We'll now open the committee to testimony on House Bill 1146, which creates the position of State Wildland Fire Coordinator and transfers forest fire suppression activities from the State Forester to the State Wildland Fire Coordinator. Representative Lentz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Representative Jim Lentz, and today I will go over this bill. Basically, I'll give you a background of how we got here, and I will allow Secretary Gabriel to go over the specifics of the bill, and I'll try to make it brief. Secretary Gabriel asked me to begin with how I felt on this, and this is pretty dear to my heart because I ran into a lot of difficulties this summer on our fires that we had in the Black Hills. To give you a little bit of history, the first catastrophic fire I fought, I was 12 years old. It was the Wind Cave Fire. And as far as communications and organization of the Wind Cave Fire, when I was 12 years old, we were told one thing on communications: don't swear on the state radio. As far as training and organization, there was none. So I just knew one thing: don't swear if you talk on that radio. Well, nobody talked on that radio because we weren't trained to know what we were doing anyway. But then in the 80s, we started having more catastrophic fires. In Custer State Park, we had the fire in 88, and in 89, we had the Sweetland Fire. And at that time period, the state forestry was just at that time starting to work with volunteer fire departments and getting them organized and training us. And it was quite a period of time where I started to finally see what could happen when you really fought fire with good communications and good organization. And the state forestry did a good job of working with the volunteers, and we now have a very efficient volunteer firefighting force. But in the mid-90s, it started raining. So the threat of wildfire went away. Well, now it's coming back. And in between there, the FTEs on the state forestry have been cut, and they really don't have the manpower to specifically work on just fires. And on top of that, we're sort of going on to the next level of our training source, and that is we need to work with the Federal Forest Service. And that gets back to what occurred this summer and why I was upset on some things this summer. We've got things such as the red card, which is a physical test that you have to take now to fight wildfires on the Federal Forest Service. This is a physical test. It's either a step test or you carry a 45-pound pack on your back for 3 miles in 45 minutes. That limited my fire department severely. I've got 12 active members. Four of us passed that test. I think five or six of us took it. So I'm limited to taking four of my firefighters to fight fire on a Forest Service fire. And you need 3 men in a truck. And they want you to go on 24-hour shifts. So we were limited to basically, we weren't going to go. But then they took off that restriction for structure support. So we took a structure engine onto the line, and we sat and watched structures. And we would then be able to carry a six-man crew 24 hours a day, a three-man crew each 12-hour shift. The problem was it was so unorganized to start with. We would leave the ranch at 3:30 in the morning to relieve a crew that was on the line on structure protection. We would drive through the fire to Newcastle and to get our briefing and find out where we're supposed to be. It normally took 3 hours for each time for a crew to come in and go through this process before you could relieve your crew that was on the fire. So we were looking at, I would get back to the ranch at 11 o'clock at night. I did this for 6 days. If I was actively fighting fire, I would have been extremely exhausted. But as it was, we were on structure protection and weren't actively fighting fire all the time. But this was because of lack of organization. And we need to get with the U.S. Forest Service and start doing what we did in the early 80s with the state forestry and the volunteers and start working cohesively as a group. And to do this, we're going to need an individual that spends his time and expertise in setting this up. And I really think that it's a needed position, because I was not the only one that was upset with some of the ways things went. So I'll shut up right now and let Secretary Gabriel present the bill itself. Thank you,
Representative Lentz. Further proponents of House Bill 1146.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee,
welcome
Gabriel,
back.
Secretary of Ag. Representative Lentz did a very good job, I believe, of kicking this bill off, and I will just try to expand on some of his comments and what I perceive is the reason that we're asking you to support House Bill 1146. I have been quite slow and maybe too slow, some could say, in trying to make changes in the Department of Agriculture, because I'm not one that wants to make change just for the sake of making change. I want to make sure that as best as we can, that those changes are well thought out and definitely move in the right direction. And I've spent a couple days out at Rapid with the staff that works for the Department of Ag, the Division of Resource Conservation and Forestry, in particular the people that are in fire suppression activities. And the conclusion that I have come to after spending a lot of time with those people and the people here in the department across the street is that in the last 5 or 6 years, our firefighting activities have become reactive instead of proactive. And back in the early 90s, we had firefighting capabilities that were as great as any state had in the West. In fact, I'm told that the people that worked for the Forestry Division were so proud that they were almost cocky, because they knew they were as good as anybody from Idaho, Utah, Colorado, anywhere. And then we had a series of budget cuts, and I'm not going to say who was to blame, because maybe it was me. But we cut FTE significantly, and the result of that is we cut the firefighting, well, the forestry division, that includes the firefighters as well as the people that have the expertise in actual forestry, growing trees and using those trees. We cut them from 95 FTEs to 42 FTEs in that entire division. We cut them over in half. And so what we have lived with now for the last several years is a shortage of staff to the point that we no longer allow our people that are in fire suppression to rotate out and go and get trained up to higher levels so they can be active in what's called incident command. So we're in a position where we have a few people that are still with us that are trained up to a Type 2 incident command level, and then we're short, so we don't even have enough to work 24 hours a day for more than one day, because people get tired and they need some sleep. We don't have the people to come on after 8 or 12 hours, and so they can get some rest and keep working. So what we have to do for the most part is rely on the Forest Service, the feds. And I'm not going to badmouth the feds here this morning, but they have a different mission, it appears to me, than what we do. And I think it's obvious when you look at their manual that used to be called a fire suppression manual. Now it's called a fire management manual. And I think that's indicative, that change in title, of this change in the attitude of the Forest Service toward fires. They, like us a few years ago, had one mission in mind when there was a fire, and that was to put it out. We still have that mission, but unfortunately the perception is amongst many of us, and I think many of the people that live in the Black Hills, is the Forest Service is more interested in managing that fire than they are in extinguishing that fire. Their first priority is safety, their second priority is safety, and I believe their third priority is safety. And I'm not going to say that safety should not be a high priority. It should be. But getting the fire out and getting it out in an economical fashion without breaking the budget should also be a high priority, I believe. And the safety and the welfare of the people that live in the Black Hills should also be a high priority. And we think that it's being overlooked some. What this bill would do is it would allow to transfer fire suppression activities from the state forester to the fire suppression coordinator. I guess it's called state wildland fire coordinator in the bill. And what I would envision doing if this bill passes And there's already an FTE in the governor's budget, this FTE. But then I would separate the resource conservation and forestry into two divisions, thereby creating a new division. And the one division would strictly be fire suppression activities. Now, that includes more than just reacting to fires. That means being ready for fires, going in and working, doing thinning, going in and having controlled burns. When I came to this job, what's it, 9 months ago now, if you'd asked me how I stood on controlled burns, I would have told you I was opposed to them. Well, I've become educated enough now in the last 8 or 9 months that now I'm starting to become a proponent of controlled burns. The question when you look at a lot of the hills is not if the forest burns. The question is when the forest burns. And it makes a lot of sense to me to control when it burns and have it burn maybe on a day when you have maybe not snow underground, but you have some humidity, so you can control the spread of that fire and you can make it burn where you want to. Have it burn on our terms instead of the terms of nature. Or some careless person that drops a match and starts a fire when the temperature is 100 degrees, the humidity is 9%, and the wind's blowing 40 miles an hour. That's surely not when we want the forest to burn. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things that we need to do, and we need to be proactive. We need to try to get ahead of the curve like we were at one time. And will one FTE do it? Probably not as far as I would like to go, and probably as far as you at all would like to go, but it's at least a step in the right direction, and a step that I want to see us take. Now, we would still keep the forestry people that deal with the science of growing trees and keeping trees healthy, but we'll try to develop an interrelationship so those people will also be trained up in fire suppression, and their secondary mission will be fire suppression. So they'll come in and work with these fire suppression people and have their role to fill. We'd also like to get people in DOT and National Guard, a lot of areas trained up to higher levels. The volunteer fire departments are a very important part of this. But what we need is people that can fill the incident command so we can determine how the fire is fought and hopefully how the fire is suppressed. Now, I failed to bring a list over here with me this morning of all the fires that we had in the last year. You all heard basically about two fires, Jasper and Flagpole. Well, there was like 500 other fires, and they just didn't get big enough to read about other than the fire up by Spearfish. The reason is because we nipped them in the bud, or our people did, and the volunteers, and we got them out. So you don't read about the ones that we handled. You read about, unfortunately, the ones that get away. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I won't take more of your time. If you have questions, I'll try to answer them. This is one step in a progression of steps that need to be taken, but I think a very important step.
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1118.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Senator Vitter.
Good morning, Senator.
Members of the committee. I'd just like to bring this into full circle. When the Jasper fire broke out, and I believe on a Thursday, that Saturday night we were called, and it was a fire that broke out just 7 miles north of Hill City. At that time, we have an excellent fire department in Hill City. We have 36 members with 11 trucks. Half of those trucks, units were on the Jasper fire, and we were called in not knowing if the winds would be favorable at night to bring the fire right upon us. 7 miles is not a big difference in approaching the community. And we had a meeting with the governor Saturday night, and had we had a wildfire coordinator that already was in place, they'd have known particularly what had to be done to protect that community. As a result of that, the panic struck out, and the governor said that what we would do, that we could only fight the fire structure from inside the city because Hill City sits right in the middle of the forest. So there was no plan. The Forest Service had no plan to save a municipality like Hill City, but the governor ordered an army of volunteers to come in to support Hill City in case that happened, and fortunately the next day the winds turned away from Hill City. So you can see the importance of a wildfire coordinator that would have all these plans in place and would already be able to throw into action immediately. So we have talked with some of the volunteer fire departments in the Black Hills, and they think this is a good idea. In fact, they think it's a great idea. And I'd urge your support of House Bill 1146.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponents of House Bill 1146. Any further proponents? Seeing none, I'll close the committee hearing to proponent testimony and open it to opponent testimony of House Bill 1146. Any opponents to House Bill 1146? Seeing none, I'll close the committee hearing to opponent testimony and open it for questions and answers from the committee. Any Chairman. Representative Brown?
I have a question for Secretary Gabriel. He's there you are. While you're walking up to the, you know, fire really knows no political boundaries. And one of the, you mentioned a number of fires that took place this last summer. I just happened to have a relationship with one down in southwest South Dakota, right across the Nebraska line, south of Edgemont there. 12,000 acres were burned, very short period of time. It's a sinking feeling to stand there alongside a rancher as he looks at 12,000 acres of land that he put his life in is gone. My question for you is whether or not this effort, recognizing it is initial, is it enough? Is there more that we can be doing in this regard? You're talking about one coordinator. We need proactive as well as the other. They had good response to the fire. When you have 45, 50 mile an hour winds, you're in trouble anyway, of course. But the question is, Mr. Secretary, should we and can we be doing more with this than what you're doing here?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, you know, we could always do more. Would I like to do more? Yes, but I'm a realist, and I think that if we can develop the right kind of working relationship with the Forest Service, and if we continue to have the relationship that we do with the volunteers and get some of them that want to train up to a higher level, supply them that training. The red card issue, as Representative Lentz attested to, is a thorn in the side of a lot of people. But we need to work through that. We're working on a shared dispatch center. Right now, the Forest Service has their dispatch, and we have ours. And they might be 20 miles or 30 miles apart. Now, believe me, that's asinine. We need to have a shared dispatch so everybody's sitting around the table so we know what equipment we're ordering and what kind of people we're ordering in to fight the fire, because we're all fighting the same fire. What I would envision and what I would hope that we're moving toward, and I hope quickly, is to where we can have a shared incident command, a shared dispatch center, and that we fight a fire as a team. A team of Forest Service people, a team of state people, and a lot of volunteers in the mix, and DOT people and so forth. And then when we get done, we sort it all out and decide who pays for it, whether it's on private land, state land, or public land. But I think we need to take small steps. And I think that this is a small step that I hope you'll take at this time with us, and then we go on and build on that. And today it's, you know, I can't tell you that we're going to have a shared dispatch. I know we all support it in theory. The question is, where's it going to be, and who's going to, you know, kind of lead the charge, who's going to pay for it, those kind of things. Devil's always in the details. But no, I understand what you're saying. The largest fire in the history of South Dakota was the Highmore Holocaust. And it was over here near Highmore, and it burnt way more than the Jasper fire did. I would like to tell you, but it was well over 100,000 acres. And that was many years ago, but it burnt in a big circle. It burnt 30, 40 miles, and it was terrible. I didn't know that until the people out there in the Rapid office told me that this summer.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Secretary Gabriel, the Forest Service you talk about, is that federally funded?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Yes. Representative Hansen, it is, and it's under the United States Department of Agriculture, and it is, the Forest Service is a division, and they have a chief forester. That man was Dombeck. He will be being replaced by this new administration, and there's a lots of things that I don't have time, and you probably don't have the time I know to get into this morning, that talks about how the whole management of the forest has changed over the last several years. A lot of because of the environmentalists that are so opposed to going in and doing any logging or thinning of the timber. They want to see the forest managed by nature. And quite frankly, the concern that we have there is, well, first of all, I support, and most of us in South Dakota, multiple use of resources. But secondly, the problem is that if you do not cut timber, there's only one way to manage it, and that's with fire. And those same people that are so opposed to cutting trees are also the same people that cry about the greenhouse effect and the release of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. Well, there's no way that you can release more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere than it happened last summer when we burned over 6 billion acres of or million acres of land, forest. I mean, look at the tremendous release of CO2 into the atmosphere.
Representative Mr. Chairman. Are they going to be willing to work with us on our level?
I don't think that I can say they will be willing to work with us on our level, but I can hope that we can attain a level that we can work together on. And quite frankly, that'll probably involve some give and take from us and the Department of Ag at the state level, as well as them. I mean, I've been around long enough to know that the only way you come to a compromise is both sides have to give a little. But in the past, it seems like the mandate has been that we do all the changing, and they ride their own horse, and they do what they want to do. And quite frankly, I'm very reluctant to do that.
Further questions? Representative Glensky.
I was noticing in 4120 that they talked about the original appropriation and mentioned that the damages paid from civil actions under that particular standard may be deposited in the fund for suppressing forest fires. What's the history on that?
Mr. Chairman, the Fire Suppression Fund is one of the few funds that we have here that can be drawn into a negative balance. And you will be asked before the session's over to replenish that fund. And I believe it's going to take somewhere around $2.5 million of general fund monies to replenish that fund. And I surely hope you do that, because that allows us to react to emergencies and not worry about what it's, you know, running out of money and having to stop fighting the fire. And it allows us to go into the red, and then you go back and replenish that fund. I can't tell you, Representative, what year that was created, but I came here 18 years ago and was here then. It was here long before that, I'm sure. So it's been here quite some time.
Follow-up?
Yes.
But my real question has to do with the damages paid from judgments or settlements and civic actions, where it says that that money may be deposited in the fund. As a general rule, is it?
No, I'm not aware that there's been that many judgments or penalties that's been awarded to that fund. You know, just like the fire that we had this summer, that lady that started that fire, from what I've been able to determine, you know, we could sue her for $20 million or whatever. And so what? We're not going to get much.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. While you're in that seat, and you know from your former life as majority leader that appropriations committee members and chairman go apoplectic when other committees spend their money without telling them. I want to ask you specifically about the FTE. I understand that you say it's in the governor's budget. Assuming we pass this bill, and I think this bill will pass, what communications will you have with the appropriations people to make them aware that this is what's happening and this is how we'd like to fill this FTE?
Representative Olson, Mr. Chairman, we already have made the Appropriations Committee aware of that. We've had our hearing. It was the first agency hearing. We told them that there was not only this change that we were pursuing, but we had some other changes. We have some fee bills. One of them, I believe, passed already on the House. We have two more that if they get out of committee, hopefully will be down there in a few days. But those things are going into some other projects. But this is built into the governor's budget, the money for this right now. So if they pay, you know, pass that budget, for resource conservation and forestry, the way it was proposed, we will have the money here to hire this individual. But then I'll go in and do the internal reorganization within the department that doesn't require a you know, any law or any bill.
Further questions from the committee?
Just very quickly. Mr. Secretary, is this fund able to receive dollars from other sources other than just straight state appropriations, either whether the federal or private, to assist it, do you know?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, I believe it is. Ray Sowers, who's a state forester, would have been here had this bill been heard Monday, but unfortunately you got tied up with some other bills. He had a meeting, a very important meeting in Rapid City today with the Forest Service, so he was out there, and I don't believe he'll be back until Friday night. But I can find an answer to that question.
Well, down the line, if I might, Mr. Chairman, down the line, if that doesn't exist, that opportunity now, it may be something that, if it's friendly from your perspective, to add on to it if this should get to the floor. Keep that in mind, if you would, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I'll close the committee hearing to questions and answers and allow Representative Lentz just a brief commentary if you would like at this time. Otherwise, we'll move on. Thank you, Representative Lentz. I'll now open the committee to discussion and our action. Representative Napoli.
I'll second.
Representative Napoli moves. Representative Junkie seconds a due pass motion on House Bill 1146. Any discussion from the committee? Seeing none, the motion before the committee is a due pass motion on House Bill 1146. Those in favor shall signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary shall call the roll.
Brown?
Aye.
Dunwall?
Aye.
Dunafin?
Aye.
Harrius?
Aye.
Lenski?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Jaspers?
Aye.
Junkie?
Aye.
Michaels?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Capoli?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye. It's unanimous. Consent has been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Representative Napoli moves. Brown seconds. Consent calendar. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carries. It's consent.